on this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. Victoria Jacobson gets us started with a look ahead at week 7 of high school football, a preview of the boys and girls soccer tournament, and the talents of a local college track athlete off of the course. I'll close with notes on the Fever, the Colts, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette is with us to get started as well. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Last week, we spoke about Bishop Dwenger's impressive undefeated start in conference play in football, but things have changed since then.
Yes, so Northrop has probably its biggest win of the season to date last Friday, closing a 12-point deficit that they faced early in the fourth quarter to bring home a 21-18 win over the Saints. So with those two late touchdowns, the Bruins are now 5-1, and they are one of five teams that are now 3-1 in the SAC.
It's hard to believe, but we're already entering week 7. What are some games you're keeping an eye on?
Well, I think that you have to keep your eyes once again on Northrop. Now, it is rivalry week in the SAC. Week 7 is traditionally rivalry week. And so Northrop will be playing Snyder. Now, as we've talked about, this is Northrop's best start to the season since 2003. Snyder has been having their roughest season in quite some time. Snyder has been absolutely dominant in this rivalry, won every game for over a generation at this point. I think that this might finally be Northrop's time. This is the first time that they've come into this game as, you know, on paper, the kind of obvious favorites. But like I said, the SAC race is still very much in doubt. There are a lot of teams that are still in it. So we're going to talk about some of those other teams that are still in it. A lot of them are playing each other. One of the fiercest rivalries in recent years has been Carroll and Homestead, really in every sport, including football. Homestead and Carroll will be playing each other. Those are both two of the 3-1 teams. And then probably our most topsy-turvy, throw out the record books, anything can happen rivalries is Bishop Dwenger versus Bishop Lohrs. Those two have been alternating winners in this series for some time now. Like I said, Bishop Dwenger got off to a great start in conference play. They hadn't given up a touchdown in the SAC until Northrop did so on their first possession last week, but still, even after this loss to Northrop, a formidable opponent. Bishop Lohrs started the season 0-3, but since then they've been on a 3-game win streak, including an overtime win over Northside, and they really seem to have put things together. So honestly, who knows? Like I said, this is our most throw out the record books, hard fought. They really want this one rivalry in town. So that is one to watch as well.
Over the weekend, sectional draws for boys and girls soccer were revealed. What kind of local representation will we see in this year's tournament?
Yes. So again, for those who just need a little bit of a reminder, in the IHSAA, everybody makes the postseason, and we have the random draws. It's the ping pong balls that decide all within those sectional groupings, which are determined by the IHSAA ahead of time. But one of the teams to watch is the Homestead girls soccer team. The Spartans moved up to 14-0 last night with a 5-0 win over a Northrop team that's second in the SAC, so a pretty good Northrop team. Homestead is now ranked second in Class A. Again, haven't lost or even had to draw a game so far this year. They will open against Columbia City in the Huntington North sectional. We also have Carroll, 11-2-2 to start their season. And they drew a first round bye in the Northrop sectional and then will play either Northrop or Northside depending on who wins that first round match. We should also talk about Bishop Dwenger, moved up to number 2 in Class 2A. On Tuesday night, they beat Northside to improve to 12-1-1. The Saints will open the East Noble sectional against Angola. So that is hopefully a pretty good draw for them. Number 5 Belmont, who reached the regional finals last year, will play New Haven. On the boys' side, one of our top teams is Carroll. The Chargers opened their season with an 11-1-1 record, and they earned a bye in the first round of their sectional and will play Snyder.
And St. Francis senior Hannah Borsema is a track athlete, but recently she earned some local recognition off the track. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. So Hannah is a Churubusco graduate, so a local kid. She throws the javelin, and she's also a heptathlete, which is a multi-day event where you do 7 different track and field events, and they add up all the points, and the person who has the best full all-around performance is your winner. But she's also an artist. She is an art major, and she was selected to be one of the 3 local apprentices to work on the massive mural that is going up at Electric Works right now. And so I sat down and talked with her about how she became an art major, the different projects that she's working on artistically, and some of the different side projects, internships that she has right now with all sorts of things from, you know, oil painting, block printing, and then again, mural painting on a massive 15,000 foot parking garage. And so we talked about things that she has been learning from that experience working with spray paints. And if you are interested in seeing the work that she had a little bit of a hand in creating, you can go over to Electric Works and see it. It's supposed to be finished by October 3rd, and it's really coming together.
You can also read more about that story on the Journal Gazette website. Victoria Jacobson is covering the whole spectrum of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal Gazette. Thanks as always for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, sadly, that's all she wrote for the 2025 Indiana Fever, but they didn't go down without a fight. If you stayed up late on Tuesday for the winner-take-all Game 5 in Vegas, you were treated to an overtime thriller that saw the Fever give all they possibly could in what was ultimately a losing effort. Already down Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham, they also lost Kelsey Mitchell to injury and Aaliyah Boston to foul trouble, and were still able to force overtime on the road. This was due to spectacular performances from Odyssey Sims, Natasha Howard, and really, the remaining roster the Fever could put on the floor. Major credit goes to Stephanie White in her first year back as head coach. It takes so much to compete at that level with so many obstacles and bad breaks, and she managed to keep everyone focused into the final minutes. If she's not WNBA Coach of the Year, I'm not sure who is. Should still be a compelling WNBA Finals between the Vegas Aces and Phoenix Mercury. I'm personally really excited to see one of my favorites, Jewel Lloyd, back on that stage for Vegas. The series begins Friday night at 8. Game 2 will be Sunday afternoon at 3. The Colts were finally handed their first loss of the season against what's looking like a pretty good Los Angeles Rams team over the weekend. It was competitive until the end, when the Colts defense squandered a 20-13 lead within the final minutes, ultimately resulting in a 27-20 loss. But that's okay. The Rams are a contender as long as Matt Stafford is their quarterback, and it's why stacking 3 wins in the first 3 weeks was a good thing overall. The Colts return to Lucas Oil Stadium for their first home game since Week 2 on Sunday. They'll host Pete Carroll and the Raiders, with kickoff at 1. IU football continued its undefeated ways against the Iowa Hawkeyes on the road with a 20-15 victory. They'll have their toughest challenge yet in front of them this weekend as they hit the road to face the number 2 Oregon Ducks Saturday. Kickoff is slated for 3:30 on CBS. Meanwhile, Notre Dame's offense has found its rhythm, scoring 56 for the second week in a row, this time against Arkansas on the road. The number 21-ranked Irish will host Boise State Saturday. That one is also set to begin at 3:30. And baseball playoffs began this week with the wild card round, which means the Blue Jays, Mariners, Brewers, and Phillies will not play until Saturday. But we've been treated to some pretty great action already. After being shut down by a historically great performance from Tigers ace Tarek Skubal on Tuesday, the Cleveland Guardians tied up that series at 1, powered by a thrilling 5-run 8th inning. The AL Central showdown will come down to a decisive 3rd game this afternoon with first pitch at 1 from Cleveland. There will also be one more game on the north side of Chicago between the Padres and Cubs after San Diego bounced back from their Tuesday afternoon loss. First pitch from Wrigley Field this afternoon will be at 3. Whoever wins heads 90 minutes north to face the Brewers in the division series, which starts Saturday. And much like the papers publishing before West Coast results come in, at press time for this program, we do not have the results of Game 2 between the Red Sox and Yankees or the Reds and Dodgers series. The Red Sox and Dodgers won their respective Game 1. Games 1? That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.